Well, we are in our series of hard questions, and I tossed the topic, figured it's my last sermon here. I got to say something big, but that thought, hard questions, sort of kept sticking in me. And so that is my sermon title. It's been a long time processing through what I want to say to you. My last sermon here, and it was hard to come up with a good answer. I used to say this to kids all the time, you know. We'd say the same thing year after year after year, reminding the same thing year after year after year. Every wedding I do, we go through all the premarital counseling, and people are like, we're so excited what you're going to say. And I'm like, I've shared everything with you. I'm pretty much just going to be bringing up the same things we've been talking about time and time and time again. But they're good things. They're true things. Because there are hard times that come. You know, when I was a college-age boy with a brother 10 years younger than me and my brother would come home, and my little brother would grab his breakfast cereal, and we're like, what? We were never allowed to have that. It's too unhealthy, and you get it? Oh, these are hard things we face in life. There are challenges. Hard to answer some of the questions that come at us. The questions that come at us from a world that does not believe in God and questions our faith when they have nothing to put their faith in. There's questions that come about our own lives as we walk through and we keep making the same mistakes. We're forgiven, we're set free, and then we make the same mistakes. And we beat ourselves up, and why, oh Lord? Why, oh Lord? Some of the health issues we face, maybe having a brain cancer, you know, there are things that bring hard questions into our lives. This past year has been a tough one. It's been a tough one. Steelers were in the playoffs and they just blew it. Why, oh Lord, why? Got to mention the Steelers, you know. And I found that as we're dealing with these hard questions, sometimes the best way to deal with hard questions is having strong truth to lead us and guide us. And so I have kind of three things I want to share with you. Because, as it says in Romans chapter 7, there are moments in life where it's, oh, woe is me. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to Jesus. And I can tell you, as I was thinking these different topics, I could not think of my daughter. When we named my daughter Rose Berea, and people are like, Rose Maria? No, Rose Berea. In the book of Acts, there is this amazing people that people come and share the word of God with, and the Bereans, they check the scriptures and make sure that what they're being told is right. I love that. I've never wanted you to follow me. I've wanted you to hear the word of God and dig in. I've said it many times. Whenever I give a sermon and you hear something, well, I don't know if that's true. Well, come tell me and I'll show you where it is in the scripture, because we don't follow pastors. We don't follow people. We follow the word of God. And this scripture is a number one important thing for me to share with you today. What would Jesus do? What is God calling me to? What is my hope? What is my strength? Open the book, people. God has so much to share with you. And it's interesting, you know, I always like getting into a small point, and I'm going to make this small point. Psalm chapter 36, because I love the Psalms, and I read them a lot. Psalm 36, and it says this, and it's often misinterpreted. See, it's not just turn to the scriptures, because people say, well, there's these different definitions of what these words mean. We hold to the word of God and what it says. This is one that's misused all the time. Psalm 36 says this: Delight yourself in Yahweh, And he will give you the desires of your heart. And people quote this all the time. And they say, see, if you are in Yahweh, he's going to give you what you want. But it's kind of funny that you say that with this text. Because you could read it another way as well. You could say, delight yourself in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It has been my walk with God through faith. I've always been a desiring, pushy guy. And sometimes I feel like I'm just pushing and shoving my own ways. And what God really wants is for us to follow him. We can go to the next verse, verse 5. Commit your way to Yahweh, trust in him. I mean, this is not talking about have your good desires and God will make things happen. It's saying God will give you your ways, your desires, your direction, your hope. He is a God who longs to change us. And he's a God who never gives up. I think this has been a year for St. Luke's. Everyone's like, oh, we're just glad for this change time to be done. God's not done changing you. He's never done changing you. He always is shaping us and growing us time and time again. As it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There's no question. This word of God is our source, our clarification, our direction. And there's a reason why we dig into this word. There's a reason why we hold on to the word. Even though we live in a culture that's always like, oh, the word of God. I believe in God, I just don't really trust that word. This word is a source of truth. It is a source of joy. And it is the only thing, the only truth that has the ability to save our souls. As we read it in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I know it's unpopular. I know it's not acceptable in the culture of America today. But this is who Jesus is. He is the way. There's only one way to get to heaven. And his name is Jesus. He is the truth. We're not a religion believing crazy theories and stuff. We hold on to the very truth. And it's truth, 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 truth. They always make other arguments about Christianity, but they can't deal with the truth of Christ. The God who truly came down. The God who truly rose from the dead. The God who truly made us. The God who loves us so deep. So, the way, the truth, and the life. This is Zoe, that Greek word. It's not this life. It's life eternal. Life now. As we walk through the broken world with these broken bodies and life eternal in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's a harsh phrase for the modern culture, but it's what we hold on to. It's what the Word of God says. In John chapter 6, verses earlier, verse 44, says something very similar. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. Here's a funny statement. No one comes to God unless God the Father draws him. And no one can get to the God the Father unless it's through the Son. Isn't that weird? So you guys are in church today for a simple reason. God loves you. He's sought you out. He's grabbed a hold of you. And he said, hey, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He is the one who's died for all your sins. And we, as Bible believers, are not people that run around and say, see, the Bible says this, do this. No, the Bible says this, do this. The Bible says this, do this. No, Jesus said it very clear. Follow me. follow me. I gave you this word not so you have your things to point out at other people. Follow me. And if you want to know where I'm leading, this is what I have in my word. Now, is it for you? Sometimes people have that question. Oh, I've been such a bad person. Or, oh, I don't know if I believe enough. Would God really want me on his side? Scriptures are clear as day. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God desires all people to be saved. His heart, his work, his passion is for each and every one. Even you. Everyone. Even the people that tick you off beyond belief. God's heart is for them. He loves them. He died for them. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is slow in his return because he does not want anyone not to be saved, but all to be redeemed. This is what our God is. This is whom we follow. This is what this scripture reveals to us. That as God has this truth to guide us, his truth to guide us is a total gift. His salvation is won through Christ, as the scripture says. And as I often do when I look out in these crowds, I kind of wonder, why are you people not smiling? Seriously. I know we haven't had communion today, but seriously, how can you not be smiling? Scripture say it itself. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus talking to us. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be complete. I feel so blessed. I came here to this church 17 years ago. Holy cow. 17 years ago. And I walked into a church that rejoiced. A church that had a heart of joy because they knew the Lord Jesus. And Christ brings us a heart of joy. God doesn't bring us a heart of beating ourselves up. No, God forgives us. God doesn't bring us a heart always pointing at other people and blaming. Oh, no, God brings us into people's lives to bring the forgiveness of God to them. God is a loving God. I can tell you, I've been among this church for so long, and your joy and your love has meant so much to me. We had a great time back in the days when I did youth. We had joy all the time. And we dealt with hard things, and Chris made his dumb jokes, and we laughed. And Chris did foolish things as a youth leader. Whew, God was so gracious to me. Nothing bad happened, but we had fun. Because God truly wants us to live a life of joy. For nothing can take away the gift of Christ. No challenge we face can take away the gift of Christ. He is with us in all things. And that's what this word of God reminds us of again and again and again. This word of God, which is our source. Hard questions, dig in the Word of God. And you will discover answers. You will discover the things God wants so badly for you to know. You will discover so much. Point one. Now I know, we Lutherans, we talk about the Word, 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 Word all the time. But the Word is not everything. Not everything at all. I will tell you this, I'm a brainiac man, and so the Word of God is my major source. But I can tell you, there is the mind, and there is the heart, and there are other things as well. God has not just given us his Word, he's given us two other things, and I want to hit those things for you. One is extremely, incredibly important. Something that I have discovered in my years here at St. Luke's. God wants me to show people what the Word of God says. God wants me to show what the people of the Word of God says. And God wants me to sit down with people and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Because God does not just want us to know this is the truth of God. You must know the truth, know the truth, know the truth. No, He wants you to know Him. He longs for you to walk with Him. And I can tell you, as a pastor that's dealt with a lot of crazy things, I won't point at you right now, dealt with a lot of crazy things. I can tell you I've tried to teach the Word of God and remind people of the truth, but I can tell you it seems like more powerful than any of that is sitting down and praying with you. Praying over the things that we face, handing the struggles of our life to the Lord our God. And it's big. It matters so much. As we read in Philippians, famous book, chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But then he goes on, right? Rejoice, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through faith in Him. See, God gives us His word for us brainiac people. But sometimes our brains can't even resolve our struggles. God calls us to pray, to acknowledge the God who made us, to turn to Him, not just turn to His words, to turn to Him. And God brings us peace through prayer. I know that's sometimes the hard part for us as we go through life, finding peace. Do I want to leave this church? No! You're my people! I've been here longer than I was at home. I mean, I left for college when I was 17. This is my home. You are my people. My heart is trusting God and following Him. And my heart is grieving because I'm going to miss you so much. But I prayed and I processed. And let me tell you, I trust in God more than any of my desires, more than any of my heart, more than anything anyone ever says to me. I'm not really a good follower of other people. Anyway, I trust in Him. And sometimes we simply pray. We simply lean on the Lord. Because the Bible doesn't always give us all the answers. We turn to God in prayer. Number three. Now, I know this is a Lutheran church, but this is a little challenging. God has given us this word so that there is truth for us to grab hold of. God has called us to talk with Him, right? To walk with Him, to be in communication with Him. But God has given us something else. Of all the people in Scripture, David is the greatest man of God, if you ask me. The Psalms are so powerful. And one of the most famous Psalms is Psalm 51. David, after his affair with another woman, he comes to the Lord and he prays this prayer. And he says words that have always been strong in my heart and in my life. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He prays this prayer to God, and I can tell you, three times in the text, he hits this concept of the very Spirit of God. That you are never alone. If you have been baptized in Christ, your sins have been forgiven, A, but B, the Spirit of God is in you. And what a gift that is. The very Spirit of God, in the book of John, chapter 14, he says this, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will bring you to remembrance of all I have said to you." In my life, as I've walked through, I've often had people come with me and say, "Oh, I've got this problem. This person is really struggling. Can you talk to him, Chris?" And I'm like, "Oh, sure, I'll talk to him." Do I know what to say? No idea. None at all. But I dare dive in. I dare dive in to talk to anyone about anything, anytime, because I'm really good, because I'm well-trained as a preacher. No. Because the Spirit of God is in me. And the Spirit of God is in you. And there are times where the Scripture has our answer. And there are times we pray and we're not getting an answer. The Spirit of God is in you. Follow the Spirit of God. And I'll give you one small thing. When you're following the Spirit of God, it's amazing. That is a Spirit that brings peace. I can tell you. If you're so upset and angry, it ain't the Spirit causing your anger. And if you're just all worried and stressed out, and maybe this is what the Spirit's telling me to do. No, it's not the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of true peace, comfort, direction. Because trust in God, for He's the one who saved you. He's the one who died for you. He's not the one who ever is pushing to make anything happen with you. No, He is there to help you. That's who He is. That's the God in whom we worship. And when the hard questions come, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Dig in. What does the Bible say about this? What's the Bible say about this? Turn to the Lord. Lord, I've got a hard thing. Lord, turn to the very Spirit of God that is in each and every one of you. I didn't want to do a sermon without mentioning Romans 8:28. God does everything for us, right? In Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I think we always read the first part of that, we forget the second part. I never have a doubt that God is doing what He wants, because I'm following His call. What is your calling? What is God calling you to be and to do? Grab hold of it. One of the hardest texts, James chapter 2, verse 17. Faith without works is dead. Yeah, God loves us, gives us a free gift, no question. But James hit this very hard. If God loves you so much, He gave His life for you, He's blessed you and gifted you in every way, how can you not follow Him? Faith without works is dead. The Spirit of God in you will lead you in the ways God has called you to go. And being a part of this church, it changed my life. I came here years ago, and I love the purpose statement. To seek out and bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It has been a blessing to be here at this church. God has used us in mighty ways. Not building a great building, and not because it looks so nice and is kept good track and care of. God has used us to make him the Savior and the Lord of many people's lives. I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for the time that we've worked together to follow the Lord, to be used by him in such incredible ways. Because this church is not who it is because of a pastor. You are this church. And it has been a pleasure serving the Lord with you. I've got a song that we're going to sing. They're going to come down. And I had one final verse that I wanted to share with you. Galatians chapter 6, very end of Galatians, verse 18. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that I have just given a sermon and have not cried. For Lord, my heart is for these people. It has been such a privilege to walk with them, to grow with them. Lord, to turn to you in whatever crisis we face. For Lord, we have all faced hard crises. And to know, Lord, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that whatever hard questions come, Lord, you are our answer. Your word is our truth. Lord, we turn to you in prayer because you are the God we lean on. It's what we need to do. And Lord, you have filled us with the very Spirit of God. We are never alone, empowered by you to do incredible things beyond our expectation. It's not about what we accomplish for you, Lord. No, it's simply that you call to us and you say, follow me. Lord, allow each and every one of us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this song. We'll do it after so I don't cry during the singing of the song. So why don't you stand? Because I think this is a great one.
Christ alone.